We're going to look real quick at a passage in Romans chapter number 8. I want you to stay with me and I want you to focus on this because there's no doubt we've seen people need it. But I'm going to say this. You know, I still believe that maybe there's some sitting here today that doesn't understand what it means to conquer in Jesus' name. And we're going to explore it. And if you would, look at these verses. We're going to start with verse number 34 and we're going to read down through verse number 37. And this is where we'll get the entire message on today. The power of love gives us a produce. It produces victory, the ability to conquer. Read this with me. Who then will condemn us? No one. Read that with me. Let's say it again. Who then will condemn us? Say it out loud.
No one.
All right. Some of you need to say it until you believe it. Ready? Who will condemn us?
No one.
All right. Aren't you glad about that? For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life. And He is sitting in God's place of honor at God's right hand. I like this last three words. He's pleading for us today. Verse number 35, it goes on and says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? Verse 36 says, as the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. Verse 37, no. I like that. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us.
Amen.
In the King James, the NIV, it says, hey, no, because we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. You know, can I say this? We are raising a generation that's believing a lie. They believe that when they come to Jesus Christ, life gets easy. That's not true at all. You know, it gets bearable. It's able to be conquered. Why? Because now you have the help you need to succeed. I told them at Celebrate Recovery at their 1 year anniversary, listen, I tried to quit drinking so many times and failed. Until the time that I found God's love. And that love and that hope went with me for an entire year as I tried to shake it. And that time was different. Why? There was a hope in me. There was something inside of me that said, you're going to do this. Why? Because I'm here. And I'm not leaving you. And I'm not going to let you fall. And I'm not going to let you be destroyed. And yes, it's hard. I know. Yes, you're hungry. I know. Yes, you're struggling. I know. But I will get you there.
Right.
You know why some of you today are not getting that thriving relationship that you want? And you know why some of you today are not able to overcome that addiction? And some of you today are struggling so bad with the battles that are raging in your life. You know why? Because you're trying to fight it on your own. You're trying to come up with answers. You're seeking solutions. You're listening to motivational speakers. You know, I told somebody this past week, you know, I believe in positivity. Anybody else believe in that? But I don't believe that positivity alone works. Now, let me explain this. You can think positively all day long, but that doesn't mean that something good's going to happen in your life. You actually got to put action behind that. You actually got to put effort behind that. You got to do something. And you know God's word, we've said it 1,000 times. It has 7,000 plus promises. Every one of them say, you've got to do this in order to receive this, to feel this. Matter of fact, I even gave this analogy. My brothers once gave me what you would call motivational speech in our bedroom. We were playing and I was obsessed with Care Bears. Loved them. All right. How many of you remember the old Care Bear stories and, all right, Care Bear stare? I even had the little sleepy time life-size bear pillow that I slept with until I was like 14. But that's the different story. All right. But I remember one day them saying to me as I stood on the top bunk, you can Care Bear stare and float on your pillow like the Care Bear car. And so I did. I stood on my top bunk. I Care Bear stared. I took my pillow, put it under my feet, and jumped off and bit my tongue in half. Can I tell you what happened? The motivational speech built me up. It gave me everything I needed. And I jumped off and got hurt, hit rock bottom. And that's what a lot of motivational speakers will do for you. Because motivational speech is nothing but talk. There's a reality to life, isn't there? You can say this, and I've heard people say it. If you want to be wealthy, claim it, and you'll receive it. All right, great. Great. That doesn't work. Only one person won that over $400 million lottery. And they only live like an hour away, so let's find out who that was and make friends, right? The truth is, hey, if you want to be wealthy, claim it. No. If you want to be wealthy, go to work. Stop charging your credit cards. Stay out of debt. You say, I don't like that. Yeah, you don't like that because that requires you to do something. I don't like it either. I like being able to have what I want when I want it. Anybody else like that? I like being able to say, oh, you know what? I'll pay this off when I get my paycheck. And swiping. You know what I even like better? Swiping without looking at my bank account. Anybody else like that too? And then you look at your bank account, you get anxiety, you get hemorrhoids, you get worry, you get kidney stones. Next thing you know, stress is coming. I look at that and I'm like this, listen, can I say this? Hey, motivation is great, but it's got to be founded on something. And today, there's a lot of people who have read these books that tell them how to do, and they're doing everything the book says. They're believing, they're thinking, they're forecasting, they're focusing on the future, and they're grabbing things and saying, I'm going to claim these future things for myself. Yet my Bible says, don't worry about tomorrow, let tomorrow's troubles worry about itself. And my Bible says, hey, listen, you need this day's bread. You need the grace you need today. And today you need to stay focused. Today you need to go to work. He says, warn those that are being lazy. He says, today you need to step up. Can I tell you this today? If you want to conquer, you've got to know what gives you that ability to conquer. And the answer is this. According to this verse, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ. What's the last three words? Say it out loud. Why? He loved us. You know what gives you the power to conquer? Love. And here's the thing. If you've been here for this series, you realize love's a choice that requires a lot of action. It's not something that's emotional. It's not something that just falls into. Anything you fall into, you can fall out of. It's not anything like that. It's something you've got to decide. Love bears all things, believes all things, endures all things. Love lasts forever. And today, you've got to make those four choices and move on. And if you do, you find victory in life. You find the small things that give you hope. You know, we've had a great Thanksgiving. Anybody else say, you know, I had a good time with family? All right. I spent the last 2 days with Jordan and Lincoln and no one else. And it was the first time, listen to me, in 2 to 3 years that we had 2 consecutive days alone together that didn't require a surgery to have it. And I looked at her and I was like, I can get used to this. This is good. And in those things, we saw Lincoln take leaps and bounds in his development in the past 4 days. Our son literally was not making any eye contact and not engaging with us and not doing, he wouldn't even play with toys. He hasn't for 3 years. He turns 3 this coming Saturday and we've got diagnosis of what he has and different things and all. Y'all know the war, the battle that he's fought. And this, just in the past couple days, man, he's been all about playing. He's been grabbing his toys and imaginary playing. And for some of you, that means nothing. For us, it means everything. The other day, we were sitting there at IHOP, and out of the blue, he just takes his fingers and counts to 10. And we're like, here goes the kid that we're begging God to let him just speak. And he's been saying words left and right for the past 3 days. And in there, I'm like, man, these small victories, when we focus on them, they don't seem small at all. They seem massive. And we realize that, hey, we got our eyes on the wrong things, believing in the wrong things. If we just trust God, hey, listen, our small victories become our trophies. And we're able to stand and we're able to say, man, God's good. But when we got our focus off, our small problems become mountains. And that's where we start doubting. And that's where we start fearing. And that's when we start making bad decisions that don't help at all. That's when we start saying things in our marriage that don't produce love. And today, if you're going to conquer, if you're going to overcome, then you've got to believe that love, His love, His love has conquered it all. Verse 35 that we just read. We see 3 different things that he helps us conquer. If you look right here in the middle of it, it says, man, or you're hungry or destitute. You know what that means? You're lonely. You're needing something that you don't have. Can I say this? Some of you are struggling with loneliness today. Matter of fact, you may be sitting here, you may be watching, you may be listening, and the thought's going through your mind, if I only had someone who loves me, life would be better. Can I tell you this? You got it wrong. No, it's not if you only had someone to love you. The truth is if you would simply love someone, it would help you out with your loneliness. Amen. There are 7+ billion people in the world today. And every one of them needs love. Everyone, no matter nationality, race, or social class, they need love. Would you agree with me today? How many of you in here say, I kind of love love? Anybody like that? I want to be loved. And you know what? Can I tell you this? Can we just focus on such a simple thought that produces such a huge reward? It is this. If 7+ billion people need love and you choose to love people, no doubt you'll get love back. No doubt people will love you. This past week, something happened that didn't kind of go the way it was supposed to. And I got several messages on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday of an article that was in the newspaper. And I looked at it and I told Jordan, I was like, this isn't... And now, it was such an honor. Just let me say that. And I appreciate it. But when they approached me, the Standard Bearer came in. They said, we're going to interview multiple people and take multiple quotes. And we're going to do a piece on Celebrate Recovery. And we would wonder if you would give us some quotes because they were at our celebration and heard a little bit of my story. I said, great, I'd do it. And then they text me and say it's going to come out Wednesday. They asked me for a picture. I told them no. I said, I don't want my picture in the paper. It's not about me. I want him to get the glory. And I don't want it. And so they said, well, it needs one. And then next thing you know, it comes out and it's a full half page article with two pictures and there's nobody else in it. And I looked at my wife and I was like, this isn't what was supposed to happen. But the truth is, man, I love the fact that now it's just out there. I'm addicted to loving people. What greater thing? And I told my wife, listen, because of that, I feel loved today. And that might not mean anything to you, but for about 25 years of my life, I felt like I was nothing. I felt like I was worthless. I was so mad at God, because why would he give me a family like he gave me that didn't care about me? Why would he give me a dad that I had to prove myself, and yet still, he was never proud of me? Why in the world was I who I was, and why? Why? And I even said this many times, God, if this is life, I just want to die. I don't want to live it. Maybe some of you have been there. And then I realized something. I was seeking what I wasn't willing to give. I was seeking what I did not know. I was lonely. And I thought that people could conquer and fulfill my loneliness. They could make me feel like somebody. So you know what I did? I attached to every grown man over the age of 40 that would show me any attention. And when they would be proud of me, I was on top of the world. You can ask some of them. They're here today. I was annoying to them. And when they were down on me, I was at rock bottom. When they called and corrected me, I felt like I had failed. And so many times I wanted to give up. And then I realized something. It's not about how they make me feel. It's about the love that God has planted in me and God has given me. And what that does is it gives me an opportunity to show them love. And when I show them love, I found that they couldn't fulfill me. They couldn't give me that confidence. They couldn't give me that hope. But God could. And by loving them, they love me. And now look, I've got a family that's hundreds, maybe even thousands strong. And I stand here today saying the love of God is amazing. You want to conquer your loneliness? You want to get over the hunger, the desire, the destitute feeling in your life? Then you need to embrace his love and realize that it's not about what the world can do for you. It's about what you can do for the world. Jesus looked at us and he didn't say, what could they do for me? He said, what do I need to do for them? And the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. And today he conquers that loneliness. Number two, he conquers our hangups. You know, you look at it and it goes on and he says, hey, look, hey, listen, some of you, you've got trouble, you've got calamity, you're persecuted. Anybody feel like that today? Man, that some of the things people are saying is just destroying your mind. Some of the things people are doing, and have you read the news and it just kind of depressed you? You've gone through life and just felt like you couldn't conquer. Can I say this? You have got to realize that today, Unless you bring love into your addiction. Unless you bring love into your self-hurts. Unless you bring love into your thought life. Unless you bring love into your marriage. Unless you bring love into the church. Unless we do these things, we will not conquer. But once love makes its way on the scene, there is nothing that can conquer you. We've got it wrong.
Amen.
We feel like, well, if I get clean, then somebody will love me. God will love me. No, can I tell you this? God loves you dirty. You know what my son loves to do? He loves to take a bath. Anybody got young kids that just love the bath? And can I tell you what it's made us do? We love how he is about taking a bath. Every night his mom goes and gives him a bath, you know, and man, as soon as she turns on that water, it doesn't matter where he is in the house, he comes sprinting into the bathtub. And if we're not fast enough to get his clothes off, they're going in with him. And man, he giggles. You know what? Sometimes he'll be crying uncontrollably. We just go turn on the bath. You know, and man, here he comes. You know, I look at it and I realize that, man, nobody likes to be dirty. Am I right? How many of you have ever been at that stage in life where you just smelled? And I'm not talking spiritually and emotionally. I'm talking physically. That you were creating a certain ambiance around you. You know, and then you realize this. If I can smell it, what in the world can other people smell? This morning, I woke up. You know what woke me up this morning? It was kind of cold in the house, so I had pulled my blankets up. I was all snuggled with them, and I had pulled my blanket up to about right here. And I remember my alarm going off. I put it on snooze. I was going to sleep for 15 minutes. We all do it, so don't judge. And I was laying there, and I took a deep breath. I let it out, and I breathed it back in. I was like, I got to go brush my teeth. This is bad. This is awful. You know, when I was leaving, Jordan's like, why are you going so early? Listen, the stank got me up. You know, can I tell you this? Hey, listen. Your life may stink right now. It may be hard right now, but that should wake you up that something needs to be done. Something needs to change. Can I tell you this? Our nation may stink right now with some of the things that are going on. It shouldn't wake up your complaining. It should wake you up that something needs to be done. And I'll tell you exactly what needs to be done. We need to start loving others like God loves us. And I'll guarantee we'll see people break free of hangups and break free of those things. We said it last week. You want to change your spouse? You want to change who people are around you? Then start loving them, because anybody will change for love. Nobody changes on demand. Nobody respects someone who dictates their life. That's why God himself doesn't even dictate your life. That's why God gives you the choice. You know how he gives you that choice? He loves you and allows you the opportunity to love him in return. And today, if you're going to overcome hang-ups, you've got to realize this. That everything about the cross screams one message. That God loves us. Now think about it. God put all of our shame on Jesus. God put all of our sin and punishment on Jesus. God killed and allowed him to die for our sins. God did that to Jesus. You know why he put all our shame on him? So that Jesus would take the shame off of you, his love. You know why he punished him? So that today you're not going to be condemned because of who you are. You've been set free because of who he is. He took the punishment so you wouldn't have to.
That's right.
And you know why today God let him die? So that you could come alive.
That's right.
Matter of fact, it's like this. God put him down so that you and I could get back up. God said, okay, there's got to be a sacrifice. There's got to be something. And today the cross says, you can get back up. You can make it. You can conquer. How does it say that? It says, for God so loved, he loves you. And today I'm going to tell you this. If you're going to get back up, you've got to learn the love of God. You've got to experience the love of God. You've got to love yourself. And you've got to love those that have hurt you. That's why the Bible says, do good to those that do evil to you. Don't ever repay evil with evil. Pray for those and bless those that persecute you. Why? Because love will heal you. And love will help you conquer. I'm going to say this now. Anybody that loves themselves doesn't put something in themselves that will hurt themselves. You know, I used to go to the tanning bed all the time. I know that's not a manly thing to kind of say. That just kind of came out. There's nowhere in my plans to say that. Now I'm sitting there and I'm like, God, we could have picked something better. We could have picked something manly, but here we go. I used to love to tan. And Matter of fact, when I first moved down here, I made friends with a tanning agency, did all their computer work. I tanned twice a day. Now, some of you, I just saw what you did. Some of you up there, they were just like, wow, why would you do that? You know why? You did that because it hurts you. All of a sudden, one day, Jordan had to have some spots removed from her. One of her friends had to have some stuff taken out of her arm because of what was being created in her body by those tanning beds. Now, I'm not preaching against your tanning bed, but I am saying this. If you know it can kill you, why get in it? Why do it? Because someone who loves themselves and loves their opportunity does not do things that we know will harm us. Can I tell you this? If you want to find the people that self-harm in the Bible, go look at the people who believed in Baal at the altar in Kings 18, where they're jumping around, cutting themselves, trying to get a hold of their God. And look at kind of how Elijah's handling the situation. He's just sitting back saying, maybe you need to scream louder. Maybe you're not cutting enough. Maybe you're not dancing enough. And all of a sudden it becomes his turn and he says, pour water on it. Dig a trench. Let's pour more water on it. And then he just says, hey, God. Pretty much sums it up. Prove yourself. The Bible says fire from heaven came down, consumed the altar, the sacrifice, the water, and everything. Can I tell you this? If you're self-harming, you are being deceived and you are being trapped by what Satan is trying to accomplish in your life. Can I say this? I don't believe God created you to die young. Anybody else believe that today? I don't believe that God was in the wreck that happened in Chattanooga this past week. You say, well, it's part of God's plan. No, it wasn't. God never. The Bible says in Peter that it's God's will that all should not perish but have everlasting life. He didn't say, okay, I'm going to take these six children's lives. You know, the Bible says in every circumstance, you know, we're to be thankful. In every circumstance. I preach this and I've said it to you before. Let's reiterate it. It doesn't say we have to be thankful for the circumstance. Because 99.9% of what happens in this world is not God's will. Do you understand that? Most of what's happened in your life, that wasn't God's plan. My God did not plan for my parents to beat me. He did not plan for your husband, your wife to cheat on you. He didn't plan for your kid to be born with disease. No, when God created the earth, he created it in perfection. And sin crept in. Satan crept in. And it destroyed God's original intent. And so when you sit there and you're like, well, you know, I'm invincible. And all, can I say this? Man, don't think for a second that God created you to live a short life. No, God created you to do great works and accomplish great things. And God created you to be powerful and to show the world that his love is true. And I'm saying this, if it's going to harm you, if it's going to kill you, why, if you know it, would you do it? You know, I'm saying break free, step out and realize that God loves you enough to give you everlasting life. So love yourself enough to protect the life that God's given you. And look at number three, what he says here. He goes on and he says, when you're in danger or threatened with death, he's saying, hey, listen, God's love will help us conquer our battles. The things that we're struggling with. Look at 1 John 4:16 real quick. We know how much God loves us. And we have put our trust in his love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God. And God lives in them. You want a powerful life-changing verse? There it is. Because here's what's going to happen. If you're going to make it through your trials, you're going to make it through your hardships, your marriage is going to survive this, then you've got to believe today that God is love. Not that God has love, but that God is love. And then you've got to embrace that love. You've got to live that love. You've got to talk that love. You've got to act on that love. And you've got to let God do what he can do. And God will restore what's around you. So real quick in closing, let's look at something. How can I live with God's victorious love conquering the areas of hardship in my life? Here it is, three things. Write down two verses of scripture, okay? First, write down Corinthians, okay? 2 Corinthians 5:14. And then right under that, write down this scripture too. Romans 12 verses 9 and 10. We're going to look at this real quick. Number one, it says this in 2 Corinthians 5:14. Either way, Christ's love, what does it do? It controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. Some of us know how to celebrate that today. You know, if you've been set free and the old man's gone, the old woman's gone, and a new you is alive today, would you just simply say amen? Thank God for that. Man, I tell you what, I look at this and I realize that most people don't know how to live in love because they do not allow Him, His love. If God is love, it doesn't mean that love controls us. It simply means God controls us. And by doing that, it is love that controls us. Is God truly in control of the way you think, the way you act, and the way you talk? If so, man, your Facebook, some of them should be totally different than they are. You know what I love is when somebody's football team loses and they get online and they congratulate the other team. We have a fan here today, and I know we have a lot of them that are sad, but let's just look at this. Where's Tyler? Tyler is a Michigan fan. Now, if you watched the Michigan game today, or yesterday, you may agree or disagree that they got robbed of that game. It was a 4th-and-1 play. The guy didn't make the line of scrimmage, or so it looked. That should have been game over. Instead, they said he did. And on the very next play, Ohio State won. It almost hurts to say Ohio State. I don't know why. But Tyler got online yesterday, and he didn't know I was going to talk about this. And he started posting things about, hey, what a game. You know, now, I don't know. I wasn't even a Michigan fan, and I wanted to get online and say that was bogus. That was awful. And on that status, about 4 comments down, I know I sound like a total Tyler creeper right now, all right? But 4 comments down on that status, somebody said, way to be classy. And I thought to myself, that's what love does. Love doesn't get all bent out of shape over a football game. And love doesn't get all bent out of shape over the bank account. And love doesn't get all bent out of shape over what you do. Love just simply says it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. I'm going to talk right, live right, act right. I'm going to be godly. If the rest of the world is hating Him, I'm still going to love Him. If the rest of the world is living for themselves, I'm still going to live for Him. And no matter what, I'm going to let love control me. Yeah. Yeah. Now, how many of you would say you're happier when love is in control? Anybody like that? How many of you say maybe your spouse, your girlfriend, your children are happier when love is in control of you? How many of you notice a difference in the way people treat you when you're out of control and love isn't controlling you? You know, can I tell you this? Stop blaming everybody else for the problems in your life and start realizing that a lot of it is what you're choosing to think, what you're choosing to act on, and what you're choosing to say, that you speak life or you speak death into your own situation. And today, I'm going to say this. Take control of your tongue and let only words that edify come out so that people can be encouraged and realize that there is a better way. Hey, I'm calling to some of your marriages, and I'm calling to some of you that are in workplaces. I'm calling to moms and dads, and I'm simply saying, hey, live a life of love, and I guarantee you, you'll have a stronger marriage, you'll have a better career, and you'll have better children. But it's not the love that's causing you pain, it's the lack of it that's destroying your life today. Amen. Yep. I'm going to say this, man, I think America is living proof of that. We have more bad to say about each other than we do good. Matter of fact, this entire past election was not about what people were willing to do. It was about what they thought about the other person. Anybody else notice that?
Yeah.
Man, you remember when Coca-Cola ads used to be about Coca-Cola and Pepsi wasn't involved? Do you remember when you would not hear of a company tearing down another company to build their product up? But now they literally say the names of their competition in their ads. Man, we literally try to make somebody else look bad so that we can look good. Can I tell you this? If you're somebody that's out there letting God control you and you're lifting other people up, can I say that you're probably a more successful, more well-known, and a more well-liked person than those that choose not to? Because love brings victory, not only for you, but for those around you. But it's got to be a love that, number one, controls you. All right, number two, look at this verse real quick. In Romans chapter number 12, verse number 9. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. You know how you're going to do this? Here it is. Number two, you got to hate what's evil. You know God actually wants you to hate something? He says right here, hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Man, some of you are holding tightly to what is bad about your partner. And some of you are holding tightly to their mistakes. Some of you are holding tightly to your own mistakes. Some of you are hanging over your children's head every little thing they've ever done wrong. Can I tell you this? Your hate is not of God because you're hating the wrong thing. Matter of fact, the Bible says love keeps no record of wrong. Can I tell you this right now? Some of us need to say, I'm going to start hating what evil does in my life and the lives around me. Does anybody else get heartbroken when they drive downtown Knoxville and they go under the bridge and there's about 100 to 200, maybe even 300 sometimes on any given day that are living completely homeless? It was 27, 22 degrees in some places last night and they slept out there and some of them don't even have coats. Anybody sit there and just hate Satan? Does anybody watch the news and see what's happening when a life is taken innocently? An innocent life is just really robbed of this earth because of something evil. Anybody else sit there and hate murder? Anybody here hate divorce? Anybody here say, you know what, I hate it so much that I'm not going to let it have a place in my life? That I'm not going to let it come in and control? I'm telling you this now. I think the church needs to take greater stands on pornography and abortion and other things than we do. We're scared to talk about it because most of our people are involved in it. You know, I read a statistic the other day that said 71% of pastors watch pornography on a daily basis. And you're saying, oh, they shouldn't do that. What about you? They're no better or no worse than you. Man, I think as a church, we need to say, hey, we don't hate sinners, but we hate sin. And we're going to stand against it. You know why? Because if you hate it, you won't allow it. You know what I mean? I don't let my son touch orange. I don't. I don't. I'm being honest. If he gets bought an orange shirt, we donate it. You say, you're me. No, I'm dead serious. No, I tell him, it's in your name, son. Your middle name's Tide. You don't wear anything that says Vol. If they ask for volunteers, mm-mm. I'm just kidding. Some of you are the same way, and I'm being comical, but I'm serious. I look at it and I realize, hey, man, there's some things that I just don't allow in my house. And I'm being comical. But yet I'll turn on my TV sometimes and I'll just sit there blindly and callously as somebody drops the F-bomb, says GD, and right in front of his little 2-year-old mind. We have problems. Maybe we haven't seen the devastation like we need to. And that's why I challenge you. Go on a mission trip with me. That's why I challenge you. Volunteer at a homeless shelter. I challenge you to get out there. Get in the highways and hedges. And you will see what evil really looks like. And what it does. And God help us. No doubt whether you've been through a divorce or somebody you love been through a divorce. You realize just how ugly those can be. You've seen what it does to the children, what it does to the individual, what it does to the confidence. Why doesn't the church hate evil? Why aren't we standing and saying, no, we will not allow those things to happen? Why? Because we're going to love you enough to say, please stay away from this. Please, please hold tightly to your wife and to your husband and to your children. Please hold tightly to the word of God. Please hold tightly to what God has blessed you with. Please hold tightly to the truth. Why? Because everything else is designed to hurt you. The Bible says that the devil comes to kill, steal, destroy, to rob, to take it away. And some of you sitting under my voice, listening to me today, you're losing the things that God has given you. Not because God's taking them back, but you're choosing something that's not going to fulfill you. You're pursuing pleasure. You're pursuing material. You're pursuing finances. You're pursuing everything else. And then you're wondering why at the end of the day, after working so hard and giving everything you got, you still feel so empty. Let it go. And realize that it's the love of God that fulfills you. It's the love of God that completes you. It's realizing that no matter what, on your good day, your bad day, on the good and the ugly, God loves you equally the same and is willing to go to war for you, willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that you have success today. Some of you need to run. You know what the Bible says? Resist the devil. says when temptation comes, there's a door. Matter of fact, we use this in our purity ball. It says, run from anything that stimulates your youthful lust. Run. But where should I run? Run right to the throne of God and realize that He'll give you something that gives you more pleasure. We tell them all the time, sex is amazing. It's wonderful. It's awesome in your marriage. It doesn't really have the same effects when you're not sure the person's going to stick around, or you're sitting there thinking, why do they love me? Can I say this to you? If you're in a sexual relationship today and you're outside of marriage, ask yourself this question. If you were to take sex out of that relationship, would he stay, would she stay, or would they be gone? Would they be pressuring you and pushing you? You say, well, I don't want to know. You need to know. And if they'll leave because you're not having sex, then you need to let them leave, because marriage, let's just be honest. Your first couple years of marriage, you have sex a lot. Then the kids come. Anybody else say, and you really got to plan your time? Anybody like that? Yeah, you hear that laughter? You hear me? You really got to, it kind of slows down. Somebody told me, your first couple years, put a quarter in a jar every time. Your next couple years, take one out. It'll take you 5 years to take out what 2 years put in. And it's like, wow, that's kind of crazy. It's not because you don't love each other, but I'm going to say this. Sex is not love, and it doesn't sustain your relationship. But can I tell you this? When you love each other, you can go through anything. Now, I want to show you this, okay? How many of you in your marriage can raise your hand and say, we have been through hell with God, and we have come out on the other side? Anybody like that? Slip their hand up. Now, hold it high. Look around you. They're everywhere. Man, can I tell you this? We need people that say, I will not let evil rule my mind. I will let God's love consume me. And you know what happens? Number three. Here's the third way. You become encouraging to others. You start giving it away. Verse number 10 says it this way. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. We have a world that gets jealous if anybody else gets ahead. Some of you sit here today, and if somebody gets a nicer house than you, you can't stand that person. Someone drives a better car than you, you can't stand that person. And can I tell you this? You need to break free. And you need to find that we are to celebrate the victories. Hey, if somebody in here loses 2 pounds, we should be proud of them. And if somebody in here, they win the Super Bowl and your team loses, we should be happy for them. If someone in here, hey, they get a promotion and you're financially struggling, celebrate what's going on in their life. Because I guarantee you, you're going to need that encouragement in return in your life at some point. You're going to need somebody on your side patting your back saying, good job. I tell people this all the time. We said it in the series many, many, many times. Every time you encourage someone else, you defeat Satan in their life. And we need a world that rises up and says, you know what, God? I want a conquering love, not just for me, but I want my life to become such a way that through me and the love you've given me, other people are able to conquer too. I want to die knowing that other people are going to heaven because of the way I live my life. I want to die knowing that other addicts are free today because of the way I live my life. I hear rumors all the time about me that aren't true. And you know why? I just let them go. Why? Because I know what God's put in my life, and I know what I'm pursuing, and I know this. I'm persuaded, like Paul said, that he's going to finish the work he started in me. Can I ask you this? Who today is victorious because you know how to love? Or who today is defeated because you don't? So bow your heads and close your eyes and nobody look around. I'm going to ask you some questions. And the main question is this: how do I know if I have this love controlling my life? Well, number one, you're producing that love for others. The Bible says you'll know a tree by the fruit it bears, and your life is making a difference. Number two, you have peace in your life. You know that even if it's bad right now, God's in control and you're going to make it. Number three, you have a powerful faith that you believe that God's going to conquer and do great things through your life in this world. So I'm going to ask you this, and I want you to examine yourself, and I want you to ask yourself this question. What is controlling you? If it is anything other than the love of God, you're going to fall short. You're not going to find satisfaction. You're not going to find victory. You're going to find total exhaustion with no result. But if it is the love of God that is controlling you, you will find success. What can take us down? What can conquer us? What can overcome us? Can anything separate us from the love of God? And the answer is no. Nothing can defeat His love. So are you defeated today? Or are you living victoriously? Are you down and out today? Are you standing strong, believing that even if things are bad around you, that you're going to be okay? What is controlling you today? Is there anyone here who says, you know what, Brother Josh? Right now, I've got fears, and I've got hang-ups, and I've got hurts, and I've got loneliness. I've got all these things that really consume my thought lives. I'm living in depression. Anybody like that today? Slip their hand up and say, man, there's a lot of negativity flowing through my mind. Would you slip your hand up? Right back down. All right. All right. Is anybody sitting here today that can celebrate? Man, you know what? I'm not saying that life is okay and everything's working out, but I will say this. I'm pretty good right now because, man, I know I'm loved, and I know that no matter what's going on around me, I am going to conquer in Jesus' name. I will overcome. Would you slip your hand up and maybe while it's up there saying, God, with you, we can do anything. With you, we can do it. Stand with me and grab somebody's hand. The other day, we were in Lincoln's playroom. It's pretty much every room of our house. That's where toys are, everywhere. We just started talking. An hour and about 15 minutes just went by. As we just sat there and we're choosing to unite on certain things in our life that need to be accomplished. And I'm going to say this. You're not going to accomplish the things you need to in life if you're trying to do it without your spouse and trying to do it without someone in your life helping you. And we sat there and we started talking about things, and I'm going to share this, and I just mean this with total sincerity. You know, today is one of our lowest attended Sundays of the year. As a matter of fact, is our lowest attended Sunday of the year. I expected to be a whole lot more empty than this. We have 130 people not here today that are normally here. Now sink that in. We maybe, right now after we dismiss the kids, I see maybe 25, 30 chairs. And I look at it and I'm like, God, we have some great needs here. How many of you noticed that there's a lot of kids in these two rooms today? I love our teachers, man. I mean, listen to me. It's not easy to walk in there and have 50, 60 kids. Especially if you're in this room, because it's a whole lot smaller. And every day I pull in and I'm like, God, we need that building. Every week, almost 2,000 people, and you can look at it, view our services online. That's not counting the ones that listen in. And I think to myself, God, there's some great needs that we need to meet. Church, I'm going to be honest. The statistic proves this, that it takes 7 years most times to reap the harvest of labor. You see, if you even know anything about farming, the Bible says that they used to farm 6 years out of the year. 6 years they would farm and till the ground, and on the seventh year they'd rest it, and that's when it would rejuvenate and replenish. We're going into our sixth year. We are halfway through our fiscal sixth year. And I'm thinking to myself, God, if next year's the year of harvest, man, what are we going to do? You got us going all over the world. We're sending people all over the world this year. We're going all over the place. God, there's some great needs. And I need to know how we're going to do this. You ever feel like that in life? God, our family has great needs. We need these things. God, I need to know how we're going to do this. It's simple. You're just going to love me. Trust me. And I'm going to love you. And I'm going to trust you. And then we're going to take that love and we're going to share it with someone else. And we're not going to worry about anything else but loving God and others. That's it. Because can I tell you this? We don't have to meet the needs of the world. They've already been met. We don't have to have all the answers. There already is an answer. We don't have to know what needs to happen and when it needs to happen because God knows. All we've got to do is simply say this: God, you're in control. God, we're not gonna allow evil into our lives. We're gonna stay focused, and God, we're gonna love people. Amen. You say, well, what about the money? God has the money. Well, what about? No. It's all about who it's about, not what it's about. Who is it about? Who is controlling this church, this life? So me and my wife, we're taking statements of faith and steps of faith in our finances with our son and other areas of our life. And I'm going to tell you, listen, we need a church that steps out into the unknown, trusting that if God has called us there, He's already prepared the way to get us through it. And so with that, we call you, start loving your spouse the way you should, not the way they deserve to be loved. Start loving each other the way we should, not based on who they are and what they're doing. Start loving them like God loves us. And I guarantee you, you won't be able to contain the joy, the happiness that God brings in. So today, will you maybe in your mind, maybe out loud, will you just simply whisper those words? Overwhelming victory. I am a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ who loves me. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loves me. You may be standing in front of a Goliath, and that Goliath may be calling your name. But for the love of God and for the love of Israel, David went and grabbed a stone and took Goliath out. And some of us need to say, for the love of God, for the love of our nation, for the love of our children, for the love of our families, for the love of our spouses, let's go. Let's do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's lift Him high and let's believe that today there is hope. And it's not based in Washington, thank God. Amen. It's based in the throne room of heaven. Yes, sir. And God occupies that seat. Would you bow with me? And let's close in prayer. God, I pray that today that You will raise up a generation who lives faith, believes that You can do anything. God, I pray that Your love just spills out of our lives, that Your peace just fills our hearts and minds. Restore our homes, restore our hearts. God, reconcile us to You, bring us to You. And God, I pray that this will be a church that goes and gets others and brings them too. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. And everyone said, amen. Amen. We're going to fire up some music. You stay, you fellowship. We'll see you later online. God bless you. You're dismissed. She just needs someone to take.